If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
You know, not since I spooned with him on the floor of the Democratic National Convention have I needed my David Corn so much. David Corn from Mother Jones. And everywhere on the TV joins us now. Good morning, David.
I think we should point out that that was vertical spooning.
It was vertical spooning. We were on the floor. Remember in Happier Times? Remember, David? Remember?
That'd be horizontal.
You know,
so
I see. Not on the floor, but on the floor, yes.
Yes, on the floor of the DNC, spooning. David Corn took charge of me after Charlie Pierce dropped me like a hot potato. I just went from journalist to journalist.
You can't trust that Charlie Pierce. He's no good. He's one of those Massachusetts guys.
Yeah, he looked at me. He goes, I'm working now. You're on your own. I was like, what? Oh, David Corn. Okay. David, by the way, congratulations. You've been. Here's the thing. So few people are doing actual journalism and have done it through this campaign, which is a big reason why we are where we are. And there you are. You're always out in front. I mean, on this Russia stuff and everything else. So first of all, thank you.
Well, thanks, and I just want to thank everybody who I work with in the D.C. office of Mother Jones and the home base in San Francisco. We have 14, 15 editors here in D.C. and reporters and editors elsewhere who were working really a lot during the campaign on financial conflicts of interest with Trump, all sorts of other matters regarding Trump, and I was working the Russia beat, and, you know, everything we did not only holds up, but,
yeah.
You know, it's proven to be a bit prescient. And well, I would just ask your listeners to, you know, check us out on a daily basis at MotherJones.com.
Oh, your Twitter feeds is one of the things keeping me alive right now. That and a steady stream of Chardonnay. David, I mean, you must have felt like you were going crazy when you were out there with this Russia story, which is, you know, Watergate on steroids. And it obviously got ignored, right? It becomes an even bigger story. It's the cover-up, right? It's Comey and the Republicans sitting on this, Mitch McConnell, knowing this is a huge story. Where does it go now? Are they going to be able to quash any actual investigation of this?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there's a couple of different investigations going on now. Both the Senate Intelligence Committee and the House Intelligence Committee have announced investigations into the Russian hacking that includes examining what they call links between Russian officials and any political campaign. Well, there's only one political campaign that we really have in mind on this, but I understand why they don't want to say that in their official announcements. And we don't know to what extent or how thorough these investigations will be. Obviously, Republicans who run both of these committees will be less inclined, I think, to dig into some of the stuff if it gets too close to Trump. But you have Democrats on the committees, Adam Schiff on the House side, from your neck of the woods,
right?
And Ron Wyden from Oregon, the Democrat, and Mark Warner from Virginia, who's the ranking Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, who have said if they don't see these investigations proceeding honestly and thoroughly, that they're going to, in essence, blow the whistle and demand an outside investigation, which some people have already asked for in terms of sort of an independent bipartisan commission like the 9/11 commission. So,
right.
Concern is that this stuff could take a long time. It can be slow walked. It can be kept behind these, walls of secrecy that the intelligence committees maintain on a routine basis. And then there's supposed to be investigations within the executive branch, FBI, maybe CIA, maybe NSA. And those we know very little about because the FBI is not supposed to talk about its investigations. Now, of course, they made one very big exception during the campaign. And to, you know, slightly defend Comey here, it could well be that the investigations that involve Trump and Russia are what you would call counterintelligence investigations as opposed to a criminal investigation. The FBI does both. And the investigation of Hillary Clinton was basically, you might call it a pre-criminal investigation to see if there's, you know, anything to look at in terms of a crime. And of course, there wasn't. And those tend to be easier for the FBI to talk about because they end up resulting in indictments or not.
Right.
Counterintelligence investigation may never result in a criminal charge or an indictment or anything like that. And it may also involve the most sensitive of sources and methods, you know, human agents, intercepts, and so on. And that's why it's harder to get information on this for as a reporter. It's why the FBI is less likely to share information about it with Congress, who has a right to know about the
stuff. Yeah, and the American people have a right to know, David. I mean, I know you're watching the same thing I am, that it, watching Trump blow Comey a kiss and say, you know, he's staying on. I mean, all of the, when you watch the faces on these lawmakers that walked out of that classified briefing with Comey, I've never seen people so angry. I mean,
yeah, and there have been members of Congress before the election who are asking the FBI to declassify information on connections between Trump's circle and Russia. And, you know, of course, it wasn't done. And we don't know what this information is. We can make guesses, but we don't know.
Right.
And, you know, from the FBI's perspective, the information could come from, you know, most sensitive sourcing. And if they make it public, it could blow methods and people who are working undercover. So, but we don't know to what degree that's true or not. And of course, the president, the former president, Barack Obama, always had the opportunity to try to declassify whatever it is, you know, he wanted to.
Why didn't he? And why didn't he appoint an independent counsel?
We do not know. I mean, it'd be a good question to ask him one of these days, but we do not know. We don't know. You know, it's hard to talk about this conclusively because we don't know, you know, what information is there and how important it is, and whether it's something that could be shared publicly without putting, say, lives at risk. We just don't know this, which is why, you know, the Intelligence Committee should have been investigating this earlier on and not wait to now to announce their investigation.
No, they put party over country. They wanted to win.
Of course, they did this. And I would just say this about Comey, I'm not defending anything that he did or didn't do. I think he made some miscalculations. I don't think they were partisanly motivated. But I think in some ways the last thing we want to do is let Donald Trump appoint the next FBI director. You know, think about Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah.
Or someone who Rudy Giuliani picks as FBI director.
Yeah.
That would not be good. I understand why Democrats are enraged.
Well, look, Comey was
they have reason to.
Was a patriot once, back with the whole Ashcroft thing. You have to hope either for his own self-interest or for his country at some point, you know, this is going to come out. I mean, you talked about, you ran into Lindsey Graham in this piece you just wrote, David, and you asked him about this latest development, them, you know, investigating the communications and financial transactions between Trump associates and Russian officials. And he said, I want to learn and investigate all things Russian wherever it leads. I want to know why, what they did and who they did it with. I want to see all of it. I want to know what Russia did. Is there campaign context? I want to know about it. He said he hoped to examine what the FBI knew about any Trump-Russia contacts and what actions the Bureau had taken. So, I mean, we do have some patriots among us, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are some Republican, you know, you might call them anti-Putin hawks, you know, Lindsey Graham. John McCain, to a lesser degree, little Marco Rubio, who have said the right things about the Russian hacking, have said they're outraged and have called for investigations for months now. They all wanted, you know, either an independent investigation or a what we would call a select committee investigation, which would bring various committees of the Senate together, not just put it in the Intelligence Committee. In which case you'd have people like John McCain, Lindsey Graham, probably on the select committee as well. And Mitch McConnell fought very hard against that and wanted to keep it bottled up in the Senate Intelligence Committee. So these guys do care about this. You know, the question is, you know, to what degree they're able to monitor what the Intelligence Committee or what the FBI is doing, and to what degree they're willing to make a public stink about this, because you know, if anything gets buried or slow walked or not fully, you know, investigated, you know, we only will know about it if there are members of the House and Senate who make an issue out of it.
Isn't it the scale of all this? I mean, as long as you've been doing journalism, isn't this just sort of breathtaking in its scale and its hypocrisy that you know, here we had how many endless investigations of Benghazi and Hillary Clinton's email, which turned up nothing. And now we find out the president's using an unsecured Android phone, that all his White House aides are using private RNC accounts in the White House now. All of this stuff that, you know, ended up in these locker-up chants. And, yeah. and this stuff between his personal conflicts of interest and his Russia ties are
It really feels like we've turned into like a Trumpy stan, in which, you know, up is down, black is white.
Right.
You know, when you have dear leader, you know, saying that he saw 1.5 million people at a rally when maybe there were 250,000, and his, you know, staffers have to come out and basically back him up when dear leader says there's a report. That
we're not even a week into this administration, David, and
illegal voters, and the report doesn't say that, according to its own author, and yet, you know, people around him have to pretend that there's something to this. Even, you know, not just Sean Spicer, but even Speaker Ryan saying, well, you know, I'm glad we're looking into this. No, you have a delusional, I mean, I think we can say this word now, a delusional person as president who says things that are demonstrably not true. Now, of course, he did this throughout the campaign. We had plenty of warning, and you still have his staff, of course, and, you know, Republican leaders, you know, trying to make believe that there's nothing crazy going on, let alone, you know, their attitude towards what seems, you know, to have been a very massive and comprehensive campaign on the part of Russia to screw around in our elections.
Well, and I was saying that that's part of what Russia wanted, exactly what he's doing now. That's why even Republicans are, like, dumbstruck with this, like, you know, they're trying to sow, you know, what do you call it, right, chaos in you know, and undermine democracy. And that's what Trump is doing with this ridiculous voter fraud investigation with taxpayer money, right?
It's, well, you know, waste money on that. And, you know, but the you know, in some ways, the outrages are so many and so big, it, you know, it becomes hard, I think, for media and for others to, you know, remain focused on all these.
Yeah, I think it's a distraction from the Russia story. It's I'm legitimate. Look over here. It's the you know, voter fraud that's the issue. I mean,
well, it's vote. Yeah, and you know, it was the rally size. It, you know, it's you know, there's so many lies. When like when everything is a lie, almost nothing is a lie.
Right.
And in the meantime, the guy is running the government, and there are things happening every day with executive orders and other decisions that also deserve attention. You know, what's happening with the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
And attempts to throw 27 million people off health care. And
right.
It's hard enough to cover all this stuff when the person in charge is behaving like a normal human being.
Yeah, no, I saw you on Lawrence, and you. But it's a really good point to make, discussing the difference between Trump lies and falsehood. You noted there's a third category, delusions. And that's what I was, I don't know if it was you that said that. It took 18 months for the press to actually call him a liar or call what he's saying lies. How soon before someone's going to go, this man is not sane? I mean, he's delusional.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, it's you know, it's of course, you know, hard to, you know, you're not a mental health professional, and you're doing this from a distance. But you know, some of his behavior last night. He was questioned by David Muir of ABC News about, you know, what evidence there is that 3 to 5 million illegal, there were 3 to 5 million undocumented people who voted illegally. And he said, "There's a report." And David Muir said, "Well, the author report says that's not what the report says." And Trump says, "Well, he's just groveling now."
And
Muir kind of missed a real opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, to hammer him at that point, he could have said, "I'll bet you $1,000, Mr. President, that the report does not say there are 3 to 5 million illegal voters."
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone sort of like shakes their head and goes, "Oh, it's just Trump being Trump." But the question is, you know, can he even tell the difference between fact and fiction? And if not, you know, it's a pretty dangerous quality to have in a guy who controls a couple thousand nuclear weapons.
He's, you know, he's, as he signed the two, you know, executive orders on the pipelines, he said, "I'm an environmentalist." I mean, up is down, black is white. It's Sean Spicer said alternative facts are like weather reports. They're not lying to you intentionally. You know, it's just alternative.
Hey, stuff happens.
Right, yeah. Well, it is a problem. And one thing that the Trump people know, at least when it comes to his base, that they're not, you know, his base supporters do not read the New York Times and Washington Post. They do not believe CNN or MSNBC.
Right.
They do not bother with Stephanie Miller's show, Mother Jones. And
oh, no, they bother with me long enough to call me a C-word, but it's okay.
Yeah, and if they see the, you know, a headline, Trump, you know, pushing jobs and the wall, that's about all they need to know for the time being.
Yeah. I know some of them listen because someone tweeted me yesterday, you're not that homely. Why did you go homo? So I'm just going to guess that was a Trump guy.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably. But so, you know, the question is really for how long can, you know, thinking Republicans in Congress, you know, keep pretending that this guy is a sane and responsible adult.
David, we've gone very long because I could talk to you all day. I don't mean to be clingy, but will you come back?
You can cling to me anytime.
Okay. How many times have I asked David Corn? David Corn, can we get David Corn? When can we?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, I'll come back.
Okay.
We'll do more later.
All right. Good job, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
There he goes. Hey, he actually won a Polk Award, unlike Bill O'Reilly.
When did we have Corn? Oh, just now.
Just now. When did we have Corn? Oh, it's already repeating on me. I miss him already.